This is the Alien UFO Podcast, episode 208, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And you can enjoy the extended version of this episode ad-free, along with over 200 hours of extended episodes on Patreon. This week, I'm talking to Kay Golden about her book, Into the Grey's Abyss, Volume 2. Kay has been a lifelong UFO experiencer and has had very shocking, bizarre and extremely frightening encounters with beings known as the Zeta Greys. Hi Kay, thanks for coming back to the podcast.
My pleasure to be back, Slan.
We're going to talk about your book. It's called Into the Grey's Abyss, The Abductions Continue, Volume 2. So you were on before and we talked about Volume 1, and there's so much in this new book. It's brilliant. But I wanted to ask you, your recall of all these experiences, is it all conscious recall? Did you use any hypnosis?
No, I have not had any hypnosis. I've had all conscious recall. And there are some things I can't remember. There are some times where I would probably be what we would call unconscious or blacked out and can't remember anything that happened during that time. But that's when I would, you know, be awake the next morning, go in the bathroom and find a mark on my body and then realize, well, I knew I was abducted, and then discover the mark, and you kind of put two and two together. And the marks aren't normal. You know, there's like a scoop mark or a dark triangle mark, all sides equal, about 2 inches each side on top of like the left thigh. I put some of the pictures in the book of the marks. They probably didn't come out real well in the book. Next time I do a book, it's going to be one photo per page. But the marks were important. I wanted people to understand that, you know, if you've had this kind of experience and you don't recall everything, but you have these little snippets of something that nags you during the next day, or maybe you're at the doctor's office, that something happened to you, and maybe you're seeing an ET or a gray or a reptilian being in your head, or you saw a craft the night before, and you wake up with these marks, you can pretty much be guaranteed that you had contact in some way, shape, or form. And if you do have marks, then you were abducted. But anyway, yes, it's all conscious recall. No hypnosis at all. A little bit of self, like not hypnosis, but just really, really deep focusing. And to do that, I just kind of use a candle, quiet area, quiet room, and a candle, and focus on the flames and kind of put myself out there a little bit. And that's all I do.
There's this thing where perhaps the ETs take people's memories away of these events. Do you feel that they may be allowing you to remember on purpose?
That's a really good question, and I will answer it this way. So I've been able to recall a lot, but I had an encounter. This was in January before we moved on to the new property in Eastern Colorado here in the United States. And it was, you know, abducted by the tall gray again, or the Zeta grays. And all I was doing was, as I wrote in the book, I'm just kind of standing there in this room with the tall gray in front of me. And he somehow has this transparent screen all of a sudden that he's using his longer finger, to kind of tapping on it, doing something. And I'm standing there with my mouth open, drooling. I can't really speak, and I'm probably trying to say something through thought transference to him, like, why am I here? And I think I asked about the crafts on the East Coast and New Jersey and everything that during the time frame that all of that was happening, and I was asking about it. But whatever he was doing, he did something, I think, to whatever implant is in my head, probably on the optic nerve. And I got an explosion in my head of just a really big explosion. And then all I saw was this like spider web. So since then, a couple of the other abductions I've had here at the house, it's been harder to recall. So I think that the tall gray did something to the implant. And that's why that screen was there. And that's why I was standing there with my mouth open, drooling, and trying to ask about the strange sightings on the eastern seaboard of the United States during the time frame that all of that was happening. So, yeah, I think, you know, they can take our memories. They can put things into our head. I mean, people get screen memories. A lot of people remember something completely different. I've been lucky, I guess, to recall everything in pretty good detail, except for a few times where it's just, there's something there, but I can't recall it. But I've been lucky. Other people, it takes some event to open up things that have happened to them, either just totally paranormal, you know, with the UFO and abduction scenario. But yeah, they can put things into your head and they can take things out. I've often wondered if people with dementia maybe were abducted at a younger time in their life, and or maybe they were abducted all their life and they just never knew it. And that's how you end up with dementia, because they're taking and putting in and taking out of our brains all these memories. Just a thought to put out there.
Getting back to marks on your body, that's also a verification, isn't it? Because some people may be having these experiences and wonder if they're going crazy and it's all hallucinations.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, when I found that the scoop marks on the top right elbow area, my right arm, top of it, it's just like, and they're in that picture, should be in the book. It, I looked at it and I thought, what the heck, you know, what did I do something to my arm? And I don't remember doing anything in my arm. And then I felt it and I was like, this is unusual. What is this? And there's two small triangles there. And I think in the photo, it sort of looks like a, you can either see the two small triangles or three small triangles, and then the X kind of pattern that it, cross pattern that it makes in the photo. But I was like, that's why when that happened, I was like, I have got to write everything down. I've got to put everything on my phone and put everything in little paper notes when it happens. So as soon as something happens, I'm back in bed and I'm awake, I'm running down to make coffee and go over everything in my head that happened and start checking off boxes mentally. Like, okay, I remember this happening. I remember this. I saw this being, this is what this being looked like, because I told myself in that Diamond Bar encounter, I have got to remember what these beings look like, because I really thought I was going to not exist. I thought I was going to get killed. And that's why they were taking me. I had no idea. I mean, like I told you, I think in the last podcast, you know, you hear things growing up as a kid, but you know, you don't, because you're a kid and you're in your kid life, you don't have that that sense to really think about it and investigate it like you do as an adult. So, you know, you might hear something like the Travis Walton story, but it's in passing and you don't think about it until after something like this happens to you and you see a mark on your body and you're going, whoa. And the mark can be on your back. The mark can be on your thigh, your knee, your shin, on your feet, on your ankle. So it definitely pays to look. And it happens. So people that get these marks, yeah, that is confirmation without a doubt. And then, you know, of course you have some kind of memory. I don't think there's anybody out there who doesn't have a memory. For example, our new guy, neighbor across the way from us on our property here out in Eastern Colorado, he was telling me, and he teaches truck driving school, I believe, I think in Colorado Springs or Pueblo. And he was telling me that he and a partner of his were driving near Area 51 in Nevada, definitely. And it was years ago. And I think he thought they pulled over so he could go to sleep because they were tired from driving the truck. And when he came to, when he woke up, he had strange holes down near on his neck and by his ears and his, there were six of them, and near his jaws in perfect alignment with each other. And I've asked him to try to elaborate on it and any feelings that he had, and he won't open up to me. But I thought that was very interesting. And I told him, and he goes, was I abducted? And I said, well, probably. I go, especially if you were in Nevada. So yeah, pay attention to those marks when you see them, and especially if it's linked to a dream or that you feel that you were taken by whatever species. There's more than four out there. There's tons of them.
I noticed in the book that you mention you get a feeling that kind of indicates to you that you know that they're coming. You feel a slow vibration in your body.
Right. So it's really bizarre. So I could be walking around the house, or it's usually at night. Sometimes it's in the daytime and I don't pay attention to it because it's in the daytime. But I get a high-pitched tone in my right ear. It's really short, not more than 3 to 4 seconds. Once or twice it's been longer and a little stronger. But if I'm really busy, I kind of discount it. And then I hear it again, usually when laying down in bed at night, like at midnight or 1 in the morning. And I try to turn over, try to go back to sleep and ignore it because it's cold and I don't want to grab my phone and go out and take pictures or anything. And that's usually what I end up doing. But then I know when I feel the vibration, it starts in the head. It's just a very strong, it's a vibration, sort of almost even a shaking or quaking. It starts in the head. It's really fast. It progresses straight on down through the body. And then I am gone. It's like I had another podcast I was on just a little while ago. And the host and I were talking about it. He says, it's like you're vibrated onto the craft. And I said, yes, right. That's exactly right. I describe it in the book as kind of being broken down and being reintegrated on the craft somehow. And I'm just there on a table and they're doing whatever procedure they're doing to me. But it's more like what he said, kind of getting vibrated into a different frequency and popped onto a craft. However, it's a portal, something I'm not sure. But that seems to be what has happened the last several years of this and here too. But it's a very strong vibration, but it happens so quickly. And then it just shoots right through your body. And then you're on a table and you're looking at a tall gray, or you're looking at a shorter, small, half biological zeta gray, or you could be looking at a real zeta gray on a mothership, or you could be looking at a tall female gray, or you could be looking at a hybrid baby, or you could be doing all three things on the same ship. It's completely bizarre, that feeling. I've never felt anything like it, and it only happens when this abduction stuff starts.
So there's a sentence in your book that really stood out to me. It is, many things have occurred that make me believe I'm supposed to do something for them, and it may or may not be detrimental to humanity.
Yeah. So because of as many of the abductions that I've been through and the different things that I've been put through in each abduction, it is like I'm being exercised, tested, used over and over and over again. And then the very last, I think close to the last chapter in volume two there, is about the trade situation between hybrid adults and a man and tall white walls and a conference table. And the poor man was just shaking in his shoes. He didn't know what he did wrong. And all I was in a sort of a transparent glass rectangular box came down over me, sitting on a chair and having to watch this. And that's why I wrote that sentence, is I don't want to be one of those people that gets picked to do this particular job, because that guy looked really, really scared. And those hybrids were talking about it being very important that I think he said, and I may have not written it in the book, but he said something about that looked like a 7 to him. And these hybrids were speaking and they were saying, no, that this is not right. You have to get this right. And I think he said, well, to be fair, I don't know your language that well, your numbers. And I don't know what the trade agreement was about, but it was very important. They were stressing that to him. And the poor guy was sweating and shaking in his shoes. And he was dressed like a normal human being. And he was a normal human being that I could tell. But for me to have to have sat there and watched that. So that's why I wrote that sentence. I was like, yeah, I don't know what this is all about or why I'm being shown this. But if there is some kind of trade going on, and it would make sense if there is a bunch of species out there and they're using portals and tunnels, wormholes, whatever, to be able to get to us, or just bending space and time, then and they're either, some of them might be, you know, copacetic towards the other species, some may not, but there's got to be some sort of trade stuff going on up there. So anyway, that was this guy's job, was to make sure these their trade agreements, I guess, were going okay, and that the numbers were correct. And that's what I had to watch. And it's just a job I would not want ever.
No.
So that's why I said, I think they're preparing me for something in kind of using me over and over again. And if all they're doing is preparing me to show me these things so that I can tell people about it, then that's great. But I don't get that feeling.
Yeah, it's almost like an apprenticeship, or you're in training or
yes.
something.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, like I said, that's not a job I would want. And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't want to work for them ever. I'm too old.
But also there's a thing, some people have experiences which seem like it's not bad, or maybe almost all their experiences aren't that bad. And they would might say, oh yeah, I'll work for them, no problem.
So I can sort of give an explanation for that. And talking to Linda really helps me out. Linda Moulton Howe has been incredible with her support for me. And talking to her just makes me feel so much better. She's talked to so many abductees. But it's basically, we think that there are many, many factions of these grays. And you might have a person, and I've talked to a few people on Facebook, they've had more of an angelic experience. That they're laying there in bed, and a little normal size, 3.5-foot, 4-foot gray is laying there in the bed, just talking with them, you know, telepathically or something. So they're having this wonderful conversation, and they don't have any feeling of malevolence, you know, or fear with these beings. I have not had that experience, and speaking with Linda, she thinks that basically, with everything that I've been through, that is more her leaning belief as well, that these are not good beings, that we're not here to sing, you know, kumbaya, hold hands and bathe in the sun with them or anything. So different factions, different beings. Some people, you know, you've got Chris Bledsoe out there. If you've heard of him, he claims this is all heavenly and angelic and everything. And I'm not getting that. I'm not getting that at all. I even have the objects over my house here on the property. I'm snapping photos and videos almost every other night now. It's nuts. And I get hair raising up on the back of my head. I don't have any kumbaya feelings at all with this situation. So for one person, it can be very different. Now, maybe it's more of a spiritual upbringing or even religious upbringing rather than spiritual. You know, people go to church, you know, and worship Christ or just God or whatever, and they've been taught that all their life. And they're going to be more leaning towards, hey, this is a great blessing. These orbs are all angelic, and could be because of their upbringing. I was not made to go to church as a kid. That was left up to me. In fact, my whole family was like that. All my brothers and sisters, it was kind of left up to them to make that decision. Went a few times, and even as an adult, married with kids, went, you know, a few times and everything. But it never became the basis of my life. Spiritual, yeah, but not super religious in as far as the Bible goes. I am not. So I have a different outlook. I kind of looked for things that repeat, that seem more scientific or factual. And that's one of the reasons I take the videos and the photos over the property, is so that I know this is what I'm seeing. This is what I'm posting on Facebook. These things are spinning. These things have lights. Not a drone, not an airplane, not a helicopter. And so it's documented. But I'm digressing a little bit. But anyway, yeah. Just to answer your question, I think it's different factions. I know there's at least four different factions of grays. the tall gray comes from a completely different system than where the zeta grays come from, which is zeta reticuli. And then you've got the Rigellian grays, who apparently come from somewhere in the Orion constellation. They have a larger nose, and they were the ones, I believe, that were signing the Greata Treaty with President Eisenhower in 1954. Here in the United States, at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. So yeah, different factions, different grays, different feelings, and people have different perspectives too. So, and like I said, it has to do with our upbringing, you know, I'm pretty sure.
So there's something else I wanted to talk about. This is what this is going to be, this thing. I got so many things. I was talking to Whitley Strieber on the podcast, and he said that there was a time he saw three greys outside his cabin in the woods, and they were rubbing their arms or kind of moving their hands down their arms like they were scooping something off or pushing something off, all three of them together. And he wondered if that was perhaps they were how they get rid of their waste liquid from their body. It's not like they go and pee. It could just comes out of their skin.
I've heard that before. I haven't seen it, but I've heard that. But then the Zeta Greys, the ones that come to take you, or you end up being guided around on the craft by one of these little guys that just barely touches on the elbow just to get you to move and go. They're more robotic. These are like half biological things. I'm not completely certain, but I have seen on the bigger crafts on the mothership, the actual 4-foot grays, not the tall gray, but the 4-foot grays that actually have a more kind of a similar look to the half robotic ones. But you can tell because they move smoother, but I've seen a little bit of a wrinkle wink in the eye on those beings, but not on these other ones. So I'm not sure, you know, Whitley could be right. I mean, without a doubt, if they're doing something like that and there's particles coming off of them, that could definitely be waste. And I don't think that's the first time I've heard that. I think that some of them do like excrete something through their skin. They may even take nourishment through their skin. But I'm not certain about that, of course. But I've never seen it. I've never seen any movement like quite like that, like what he described, and like shedding of follicles or
I was asking because in your book you say there is a pungent smell that comes off these beings,
yes.
And I thought that might be it.
And it could be. That could very well be. But I've kind of always just thought it was the smell in the craft, probably because of the humans that get taken and what happens. You know, humans probably had accidents in the ship. But it could very well be, you know, what Whitley said. I don't have any facts in that direction.
And you talk about people having accidents.
Yeah.
But we don't ever hear abductees talking about that. But
right.
If you're scared out of your wits.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you're in the drug state, you still might have an accident. And I'm pretty sure they have a way to keep you, you know, not just secured, but immobile, sanitized. And then, yeah, I would figure people have accidents all the time because the ship smells really bad and the beings smell really bad. Yeah, it's not pleasant at all. I've come away from when I came out of the Diamond Bar abduction, all I wanted to do was shower and shower and shower.
Yeah.
And I was just scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing, and I could still smell that smell. And it drove me nuts for most of the day. I did not put that in the book, of course, but yeah, it's pungent. It's like lighting a match, the smell when you light a match, that sulfury smell.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like rotten eggs, and then add black licorice to that, and you've about got it right. It's not fun, not a fun smell at all.
So I wanted to ask you about wrecks, and I think we might have talked about them before, but was there a time you wanted to contact wrecks because of what was going in the world, and then you got picked up?
Yeah. Yeah, that was That was so. It was when Putin was the first day invading Ukraine. I was actually speaking to Linda Moulton Howe on the phone that morning. We were both crying because she actually had a friend or two out there, and that she was concerned about. Well, I don't think I have any family out there. I did at one time. There was a cousin who was out there. But I mean, it was just frightening to think that this guy could go this far in such an enlightened age of, you know, at that time, the year was what, 2022? And so we were upset. And she said, hey, do you think you could try to contact the Tall Gray? Maybe because we know that they can shut off our nukes. They can turn on our nukes whenever they want to. They just seem to hover over the base and boom, they're on or boom, they're off. All silos. You know, they just kind of light them up or shut them down. And so I said I would try. And I spent that afternoon in front of my candle, three-wick candle with the flames going, and just staring at the flames, perfectly quiet in the house. My husband was at work, so it was totally quiet in my office, basement office at the other house, and just focused and tried to put myself out there in space to kind of make contact with the Tall Gray. And I thought maybe I would get some kind of tingle or something like that, and nothing happened. I mean, you can only keep that up for so long. I cannot sit there and stare at a flame like that for probably more than 6 minutes. So I thought nothing happened. And I tried again in the afternoon, and then I think I tried one more time. And I think we had dinner, and me and my husband had dinner that night, and, you know, I went to bed, and yeah, I was brought in front of the Tall Gray Rex that night. And he was very, and I say he does have emotions because he was very put off by the fact that I was trying to contact him. And he was very, you know, abrupt, kind of brushing me off like, basically, you know, I'm busy. What do you want? Kind of like a parent would do to a kid who was busy and their kid was bugging them, right? So that's what I got. And I just asked, I said, you know, basically, you know, we got this guy. Do you know of Putin on Earth? You know, he's the president of Russia, and the fact that he's invading this other country, we all don't want to die. We don't want to be destroyed in a nuclear war. None of us want that. None of us want that. And basically all I got was they're aware and they're watching the situation from up there. And when he said they, I'm assuming his entire species, mother crafts involved, smaller crafts involved, Zeta Grays and from Reticuli, and maybe even a few other beings like the Mantid and reptilians too. I'm sure they're all watching. But so that was interesting. It was shocking and it was interesting because I really thought I would feel some sort of tingle or something when I did that, if I had actually made contact. And nothing had happened. And I was so devastated. I was so disappointed because I really, you know, was upset and wanted that information, at least wanted to get some kind of answer. So that those, you know, pretty much were the answers I got. And then he also said, basically he gave me a name in my head, a face in my head through the thought transference, watch this man. And to this day, right now, I can't remember his name. If I saw his picture, I would know. But he was in government, our government, the U.S. government, in 2022. But I don't think he's there. I haven't heard anything about him. And like I said, I can't remember the guy's name. And I think I wrote that in the book, too. Feels so dumb.
There's one thing about Rex. You say, the manner of crafty engagement that he uses to get me is just about diabolical. So what does he do?
So, yeah, it's just the manners that I'm always taken. I'm always put on a table. I'm always, you know, they sneak these devices on me or come around the table and inject me in the back, or the device injects me in the arm and I don't know what's going on. To me, it's all very diabolical. And it's like I've said to Linda, is like, if these were beings that were benign, wouldn't they say, hey, would you like to come and be experimented on, you know, be our guinea pig, something like that. You know what I mean? Be a guest on our craft. And I'm not getting that. And I think most abductees don't get that invitation either. That's kind of bothersome. But yeah, it's diabolical because in the middle of the night when you're trying to sleep and you should be at your most peaceful time, you know, resting privately in your home without being disturbed by some otherworldly being. And then when that happens, it's shocking and it knocks you. I mean, it just messes with your mind so bad. But it's, to me, it's diabolical that they have these Zeta Grays come. You could be in bed, you could be on the road in your car, and you know, they land, they come, they take you. Or it can happen like it's been happening with me, where it's just the vibration and boom, I'm back on the ship. So I think it's all diabolical because I'm not being asked my permission to, you know, be taken or be used or be experimented on or being tested. And that's happened too.
And you feel that they're quite happy to lie to you about stuff. They're never.
Oh, yes.
It's always a thing, I suppose. You never know whether what they say is true.
Exactly. So it'll be like, okay, calm. You know, we won't hurt you, or this isn't bad. And then you get stuck in the back, or you get stuck in the arm, or you get used for the hybridization program with a 6-foot mantis being down at the end of the table doing the procedure, you know, when you're strapped to a table and you're there naked, which is about the cover of volume 2, that scene. And Rex is always, when the mantis being in there, most of the time Rex is always there doing that thought transference. K, calm, K, this is necessary. You know, we have to do this. And I'm always going, why? Why do you have to do this to me? What? Why? And I don't get an answer. It's just, it's necessary. At Psychi, it is exactly like being a guinea pig or pet for them to experiment on. So very manipulative. They're very sneaky. And the little Zeta Grays just do the bidding of the tall gray and, of course, the mantid being from the Mothercraft. But the tall gray, it's just, yeah. It's very manipulative and sneaky. And I think it would be to any abductee because this is not something we're asking for.
Have the Greys ever got you to assist them in looking after other people?
Just the baby, the hybrid child. And that was more of a show and tell. So when I was brought into that nursery by the small robotic, let's say the small Grey, on the big, big, big mothership. And before that, I was in the big white room. It was like warehouse sized on this craft with other people. There were tables all over, like almost like you would see in a morgue. And I was on one table a few feet away from me. There was, you know, 8 feet away from another table, somebody else on it. A little further down the row, there was another human on a table. And I don't know what I was in that room for or what they did to me. That's one of the times I don't remember, but it was on the big ship. And then that's when they took me to the nursery. And then I was made to hold that little hybrid baby. That's all in the book. And all I know is that I thought maybe it was more of a show and tell, like, hey, you've come so far. We want to show you this nursery. We want you to hold this hybrid child. And tiny, tiny thing. Very, very creepy to me. You know, I did not feel instinctively motherly toward it. But this hybrid baby opened its eyes as soon as it was passed to me by the tall gray female that was in that nursery that was, I guess, watching over all those 500 containers up there. Anyway. When the eyes opened, they were blue. They were really, really between sapphire blue and crystal blue. So it was a very prominent blue. And so she looked at me, and this is a little, little being. And I couldn't even judge the age of it because I don't know how their growth rate is, how they, with the hybrids. But, and I've seen the hybrid child. I've seen the 7 to 8 year old, like elementary type student child, but definitely gray human. And then the younger one, like a toddler, had that experience. And then, of course, this hybrid baby was the last one. So it kind of felt to me like it was more of a show and tell, like, hey, you've come so far. We're going to show you this and let you hold a hybrid baby. other people have asked me on the podcast, did you feel like that was yours? And I said, I can't go there. I'm not ready to go there yet. But the fact that there were so many of those containers in that room, I mean, that's a lot of hybrid children. And what are they doing with them? And, oh my God. But so that right now is the only thing that I could say that they directed me to do. But there's been other things with the testing. And then there's been the, like I said, the witnessing of the trade agreement, whatever trade agreement that was freaky. I never expected that. So that may be that they're pushing me into some direction like that.
Did they want you to perhaps give something to the kid that they couldn't give? Something to do with love or something?
Well, I didn't do a very good job. Oh. I barely touched the child with my finger. I did brush its cheek with my left index finger, and I was repulsed because it felt a little cold and not human. And I've told other people, and even on Facebook, I've had people say, "Hey, that was the baby recognizing you as its mother." And I'm like, "Okay, but wouldn't I have felt something motherly towards?" I wanted to be out of that situation. I felt repulsed and I didn't want to be there. And when I saw all those containers, when I first was in that room, in that kind of the peachy glow, and the door was kind of lavender, really weird glow when the Zeta Gray opened it. And then the room itself had that kind of peachy glow. But when I saw all of those dang containers, I was swooning. I was dizzy. I was nauseous. I had to sit down, and the Zeta Gray did bring me a chair. And that's when she brought the hybrid baby over. But I just, it's hard for me to accept that, even though there are instances in my life where, yes, and with all of this abduction stuff going on, it would have been very easy to use me. And maybe that's not the first. Maybe that's not even the second. But I even had somebody ask me, what about all those 500 that you saw, those containers, could they all have been yours? And I went, I can't go there. I just can't go there.
Yeah, it's creepy, isn't it?
Very creepy. Very creepy. And so I'll explain something. On the cover, the reason why this picture was used, well, I mean, my publisher had their illustrator come up with it. I didn't even come up with this. And I told him what happened. And I thought that would be a good picture for inside the book, you know, to demonstrate this chapter, right, about the hybrid thing and part of it. And then we just went with it for the cover. I was like, that's cool. Let's use it. And now the book is blocked on Amazon because they don't like the cover. They blocked volume 2, so you can't get it on Amazon. Volume 1 is still available, but it is available on Barnes & Noble. So that's cool. And Barnes & Noble in the UK. But anyway, I digress. So with the cover being this situation, this was a different room. I'm pretty sure it was still on the mother crab, but this was a different room. The containers were different. There were tubular apparatuses going alongside the wall in this one that they were, it was different. So it was almost like the procedure that I was going to go through. And I asked, because I was scared to death when this happened. I was doing thought transference with Tal Gray. And I said, how many times have you done this to me after the Mantid did that basically gynecological procedure on me, right? And he said, many. That was his reply, was many. And I'm like, thinking in my scared out of my wits, how many is many? What are we talking about here? And of course, I never got any real reply. So that made me really ill. As I said in the book, when I was returned, all I wanted to do was vomit. I couldn't fathom this, that this even happened, that an insect like Mantid thing could do that. But anyway, the containers in not too far from me, they were over to the right side of the room. There were a bunch of them. I could see these things floating in there, and it was core of an ambery liquid, but it looked thick, viscous, right?
Yeah.
So we could see things floating, but these were not the same containers as what I saw in the hybrid nursery. And I'll probably write that when I do the next book. But I thought it was weird. I thought when I saw these, maybe these were just bits and pieces and parts of species or humans that they were trying to put together that it didn't work, but they're trying to keep them alive. And that was my first thought when I saw those containers. I was really freaked out. In the nursery, I could see that everything was, you know, lined up really well and that they were definitely still in a fluid, but it was a little clearer fluid. And you could tell they were just little gray human hybrid beings. And there was also a mark on, there's a mark on all the containers, little purple individual mark, to identify it. But I think I saw one that was the triangle, and I had that triangle on the top of my left thigh. And at the time, it was still there when this happened. And so I was kind of freaking out on that. So is that the faction mark? Is that the ship mark or the species mark or maybe the date mark that they use? No idea. But that was awful.
Yeah. When you say that, the triangle on you, it just reminded me of when farmers would do branding on their livestock.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If we change the subject, there's a sentence in the book where you say, I have been a witness to a few unlisted items on the Zeta Grey's to-do list that you could classify as extraordinary.
How do I explain this? Yeah, it's everything is kind of extraordinary when you think about it. It's very frightening. But the Zeta Grey's to-do list is the hybridization program. I think first and foremost, the mantid being is behind it. The tall gray is like the second in command there. And then the real Zeta Greys on the mothership, the 4-foot real ones, I wouldn't say they were running all over the place. I saw one or two. I think I had an original drawing of walking down a hallway in the craft. It's a really bad drawing, by the way. With one of these, two of them, actually, going down this hallway, there's lots of doors. So this had to be a mothership. And there's different doors. And walking by the doors, you hear different things. So one of the doors, and not necessarily that it was open, it might have been glowing, but I don't think it was open. And you hear other human beings. So I've witnessed some screams from other human beings. I've had the wonderful privilege of being put on a strange table with two other human beings, as far as I know. One man was in terrible agony as we were being turned around on this machine, and the machine made the worst noise in the world. It was just horrible, and it's something you don't forget. And so now, because of that experience, and again, I had wires attached to the back of my head after I was turned around on this big four-table machine while the mantid being was across the way at his transparent screen, probably a good 20 feet away from where the table machine was. This was a big room, too, and that was a big machine. But having the wires attached and then having the machine punch knife my arm, and then I was so angry that I knocked that one Zeta Grey over before going back through the portal. I had just had enough. There comes a point where I go, this keeps happening. And I think I have become almost numb to it now, especially hearing the tone in my ear. I'm like, no, come on, not again. And there's been a couple times when I've been able to bunch up my fist and just try to fight physically the whole, the vibration. It only works once, and then it happens again, and then they've got me. But the Zeta Greys have done really nothing to me. It's always the tall gray and the mantid being. The Zeta Greys are just there to kind of guide, be there to probably clean up, get the clothes, take the clothes off. In most instances, I don't remember anything fantastic as far as they go. But if you think about it, it's all just so as unbelievable, if not experienced. It is so mind-blowing.
It sounds like there's a hierarchy. Would you say that? Like the mantids are in charge, and then it's the tall greys, then the shorter greys.
Yes, that's exactly what I would say.
So where do the reptilians fit into all this?
And I don't know. I have heard that you can see them on the bigger ships, and they are working with, I'm assuming they're working with the manted. They may be working with both the manted and the tall grays in my case, because I had been taken by a reptilian right through the dang wall or window that night in when we were up in Castle Rock, Colorado, in the other house, and I was in the guest bedroom, and it was so bizarre. And I had the scratch marks across my belly. I never took a photo of it, but I had two distinct scratch marks across my belly, stomach area, that were long, that I got from this being just grabbing me as soon as I was trying to go to sleep. And that vibration hit. This time, though, this being was right there, cloaked with yellow eyes, not a manted, taller, kind of beefier in build, but cloaked, yellow eyes, definitely rough, like alligator type skin, if you would, on the face. That's really the only thing I saw. And it just grabbed me, took me over its shoulder. We shot right out the window. And then I was back on that craft. And then when I was in the craft and I was being guided by Zeta Gray down the hallway towards this exam room, again, to be stabbed or shot or poked or whatever, the reptilian that had got me, I saw it. It was walking, just walking, not floating, mind you, but just walking down the other way. Like it didn't even know that it did that to me, or didn't care that it had done that to me. So I thought that was everything's bizarre, but that was very interesting. So yes, I could say maybe they're working with the manted, maybe they're working for the tall gray on the mothership.
So also you said you were walking down the corridor and you heard people shouting things. Has that happened a lot?
No, it isn't a lot. It's just glowing doorway you walk by. Some of them, you don't hear anything. And there's a lot of them, especially on the mothership. It's huge. But then they may make it. I'm looking at something from a human perception. So how do I know it's that huge inside? Maybe it's not. Maybe this is all a warped perception. But so you're being guided by this little Zeta Gray by your elbow. They're not really touching. It's just sort of barely touching the elbow and kind of guiding you to stay on the, walk with them. And then you walk by this door that's glowing. And it's just a regular kind of glowing amber light, nothing crazy colored or anything. And you hear human cry, and it chills you, because it's like, something's going on in that room when you hear the cry. No, I don't want this. Don't do that to me. Don't do this to me. And they're probably secured to a table. They're probably able to talk, but it's not going anywhere, because tall grays use thought transference. It's not telepathy. It's thought transference. But so you hear that and it chills you. And there were a couple of doors on that mothership where you walk by and you hear that. So they take a lot of people. They must take a lot of people at the same time from different places on the planet. And so usually I'm, in the tall grays craft, I'm probably the only one, maybe most of the time. But on the mothership, there's a lot. And when I was in that big white room with all those tables, there were probably at least 20 humans on tables. So that mothership, and again, I'm addressing it from the perception of a human here, was huge on the inside. Huge. But yeah, you walk by those doors and you hear that. And a couple of times I've heard it and I just go, no, you can't listen to that. You're going to start crying. You're going to get upset, and they've got something for you to do, or they're going to do something to you. So you just need to stay calm and get through this. And that's what I do. I stay calm and I try to get through it, as freaked out as I am by it.
And I think there's one point you say in the book, you heard a male voice say, no, you can't do that to him. It will not work. So do you ever get the impression that there are people just working with them? They're not abducted.
I'm not sure. I've heard of other people saying there's military people that they actually see when they're abducted. And I've heard of a few people who claim that the military actually has abducted them and make it look like it's an alien. I hate using that word. A gray or reptilian abduction. But I'm pretty sure I don't think our governments would go to that length, our military, to do something that heinous to its own citizens. I could be wrong. Our lives have changed drastically over here in the United States and in the last 20 years. But I just don't think, I think that would take a ton of money. I mean, granted, we have the black budget and you have the hidden black budget and all kinds of things being made that are UFO related, money that can't be counted for. So it's possible, but I don't want to believe that. But yes, I've heard that, that people are seeing soldiers like in camouflage uniform when they're abducted. I have not seen that. The only time I witnessed that was when the one little gray human, like 7-8 year old girl, when I was taken, and somehow we were, and I actually think, I know it wasn't a dream, but I actually think it might've been one of my, what do you call it? Cosmic download flashes or something, where I'm kind of flying, but then all of a sudden I'm in this situation, and it's very short. It's not a long situation, but this little gray human hybrid girl with blue sapphire eyes, tattered dress, no shoes to speak of. And I'm in, I'm not even in cowboy boots. I think I'm barefoot or socks. And we're floating over the Peterson Air Force Base, or Peterson Space Force Base as it's known now, gate. I know that gate. We're going over it, floating over it, and landing on the road. No cars. There were no lights on the road. And I know that road, the main base road. And she's skipping in front of me to take me somewhere or show me something. But before we get to that point where she says, remember your dreams, it's important to remember your dreams, we're by the big, I think there's three buildings off to the left side, off the main road. I should know this because my husband worked there, or does work over there. But there were a line of soldiers, and I say soldiers, Air Force military, with the AR-15 guns in their bluish kind of camouflage. And blue, I noticed, not green, because it used to be that they were green when my husband was, you know, back in the Air Force and, you know, 20 years ago or so, or 25 years ago. But these were blue. So I don't know if that's if that's what they actually wear now. I don't even know. I don't pay attention. But they were in the blue camouflage, and they had just blank looks on their face. I walked up to them to say, hello, how are you? None of them replied. They all just stood there with those guns at their side, like they were ready to do something, but they weren't ready to do it. It was the strangest thing. So that's the only time I can claim seeing any military involvement in an abduction or in that strange, weird cosmic download that happened.
Well, it's been great talking to you again. The book's called Into the Grey's Abyss, The Abductions Continue, Volume 2, and people can get that on Barnes & Noble, can't they?
Yes, they can get on Barnes & Noble because it's been blocked on Amazon. I will be selling it, hopefully, on my own website, but my website's not up and running yet. It'll be probably another 2 weeks.
All right, well, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It's been great.
Oh, it's been great being a guest on your show again, Simon. A lot of fun.
That was an interview with Kay Golden about her book, Into the Grey's Abyss, Volume 2. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up to Patreon, where you can get exclusive access to the extended version of this episode. Just go to patreon.com/alienUFOpodcast. When you sign up, you get access to the episodes in the back catalogue, and they are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions. And if you want to try out the extended episodes, you can get a 7-day free trial. And please check out my book. It's called Verified Near-Death Experiences, and it's on Amazon. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.